You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The ballot this midterm is filled with local measures and races. We're going to focus on an office that doesn't receive as much attention, but in recent years has experienced growing awareness from parents, school board races. In Sacramento County, 10 school districts will have elections this fall, and a growing number of candidates our parents. CAP Radio, in partnership with the Sacramento Observer, interviewed each candidate on specific topics with the goal of giving voters a deeper understanding of where they stand on issues like the achievement gap, as well as race and equity. Srishti Prabha is CAP Radio's Sacramento education reporter and joins us with what they found. Good morning, Srishti.
Good morning, Vicky.
Okay, so let's start off with what an elected school board member actually does.
Yeah, your locally elected school board member is an elected public official tasked with governing a community's public schools. They can have influence over textbooks and educational materials, school closures, academic calendars, budgets, disciplinary structure, and something that we saw even more this past year was even health guidelines, mm-hmm. right? So this past year, we saw Sacramento City Unified School District had a strike, and that was also something that was really important because the school board was the one that approved the contracts that were then signed by the teachers. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that your school board can have influence over.
You know, if you aren't a parent or if your child isn't part of the district that you live in, why should your vote matter?
Your vote matters because it has an impact on future generations and on the education system. I think that's like the very baseline level of why you should care. But also, this is one of the few local elections where your vote can really have an influence. You know, people always say my vote doesn't matter, but your vote actually matters. And, you know, your school board meets every, you know, month or every 2 weeks. And in those cases, you can actually have a voice. You know, you can, if you're there and a community member comes up to you, you can really listen, you can really make a change, or you can be the person delivering that information. So your local school board is more involved in things than you believe them to be. And I think California School Board Association's communication officer, Troy Flint, whom I interviewed, he said it best.
The school board election is very important. It's been overlooked for many years. It's often referred to dismissively as a down ballot race. But I think that the school board, in a sense, is the essence of democracy because there's the highest degree of transparency and access of any public official.
You know, I have actually seeing school board candidates canvassing my neighborhood, you know, so that's actually something that is encouraging. You're actually seeing candidates face to face and wanting to talk to you about the issues that are important to them. These races, as we just heard from Mr. Flint, they don't often receive a lot of coverage. After your deep dive, what did you get a better understanding as to why that is?
Yeah, they don't get a lot of coverage, one, because they're in tandem with a lot of statewide issues, a lot of things that are getting a lot of national or like even statewide coverage. So that's one reason. Another reason is actually very difficult to get this information. And even as a reporter, it was difficult. So, you know, as a general voter, I would imagine that's not easy information to get access to unless the person, like you said, is canvassing and comes up to you and says, hey, this is me.
Knocks on your door.
Knocks on your door, exactly. And then, you know, even corroborating and fact checking whether or not what these candidates are saying is accurate, I mean, that was something I had to think about because it isn't something that we can really do, especially with so many candidates like that are all first time people running for office. You can't corroborate these things. So then it becomes the legitimacy of the media org to say, OK, how are we going to present this information? So it's the onus isn't on us to misrepresent them, but to still do our due diligence. And then I think a lot of this time I spent when, like I said earlier, was actually chasing down the candidates and getting their responses, because a lot of these candidates are, you know, working full time jobs and don't have the resources. And some people do have the resources. So, you know, you have to think about equitable coverage, like how do you do all of these things, you know?
Especially when there's so many candidates for school board, because the county has a lot of school districts. So obviously the pandemic, remote learning, distancing, it all took a toll. It's something that is still very much present from one campus to the next. That also fueled pretty passionate parent involvement. What does that look like today?
So throughout the state, there has been increased parent involvement post-pandemic. And Troy Flint kind of gave me a little insight into this.
I would say that during the pandemic, parents got a glimpse into what is happening in schools, both in the classroom and the boardroom. And that resulted in extra interest, which we're seeing play out in a number of ways. One of those is more intense elections, more people running for office, and a higher degree of politicization in the school board electoral process.
So spurred by the accessibility to school board meetings online and insight into the school practices, we saw increased parent engagement. They could be cooking, you know, and listening to a school board meeting. So, you know, this rang true for even Sacramento County, because we see 60% of the candidates running in the five major school board races are parents.
Yeah, that's the majority. And these elected positions are nonpartisan, but politics obviously have become embedded in school board races, especially in recent years. How is that changing or shaping the pressure of the job?
Right. So, school board races are traditionally nonpartisan, but that's not really true. So it's very important to take a look and acknowledge what your candidate's endorsements might be. I think the California GOP had elevated its efforts with a campaign called Parents Revolt, which was a movement to strategically control local education offices. And, you know, even, you know, you have Democratic funding to endorse candidates or fund candidates' campaigns. So it's not like it's one-sided, but definitely there was an increase on the GOP end, and there was more trainings delivered from their end to ensure that, you know, people were partaking in their local education offices. So Troy Flint gave me a little more insight into this, too.
So school board races are officially nonpartisan. I don't think anyone would be so naive as to say that politics were never a part. Of course they were. When you run for school board office in California, you don't have a D for Democrat or an R for Republican beside your name. But if you're running for school board, of course you're coming with a certain political viewpoint. You have certain ideas, certain objectives you want to accomplish, and those will be influenced by your political stance. What we're seeing now, though, is what was inferred has become more explicit.
So, yeah, again, Troy Flint, who is the communications team for the State School Board Association, you know, he's the one that's recognizing these themes that are happening throughout the state. And then also how some of these school board elections are centering around some controversial topics along with other topics. So some of those controversial topics are like COVID-19 mitigation tactics, critical race theory. And just for people who don't know what critical race theory is, it's a graduate level theory on systemic racism, which is being used by the GOP as almost like a thing where they believe it's being taught in the school curriculum. And that's nationwide. That's been happening throughout. People have been passing CRT bans. And California's legislative response to CRT was an ethnic studies requirement for high school. So now that's a requirement that will have to happen in the next few years. And that's also a conversation topic. Like, what will that look like? So those are some of the things that we're seeing this election.
When it comes to your reporting, I mean, you took such a wide canvas across five of Sacramento County's largest school districts. So give us a lay of the land of your reporting.
Right. So I know there are 10 districts, but we looked at five districts, which were San Juan, Sac City, Natomas, Folsom, Cordova, and Elk Grove. Within that, we looked at the 26 candidates. So when you're voting, you may or may not have a candidate on your ballot. A school board candidate will appear on your ballot if there is an open seat in your district. And when there is a seat open, you will actually only be choosing one candidate because only one seat is open. So you don't need to vote for more than one person. It's just one candidate. And a lot of those pieces of information that I've been talking about, how, like, who should you vote for? That information is in our voter guide. I've include endorsements. I include their responses to questions. So definitely, if you're voting on your local school board, you should take a look at the voter guide.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with CAP Radio education reporter Srishti Prabha about the candidates running in the five largest school board districts in Sacramento County. Walk us through the thought process, because you span five school districts in different areas in the county, different populations, different neighborhoods, different issues. What was the thought process to gather a fair, transparent look at where these candidates stand? Because you had 26.
Yeah, so I think I started with, we're at 10 districts. Can I cover all 10? I'm one person. And so while the most equitable way to have done this would have been to look at all 10, I decided to look at five that were the largest. And also the ones that weren't joint unions. So the ones that were really Sacramento County based, because that's my focus. And so when I decided to cover the five districts, I thought, okay, what can I do to make sure that it's fair? So I actually asked the same five questions, identical questions, to all candidates, and they were all framed in an open-ended manner. And this is because I come from a research background. I want to leave things open-ended because I want people to give me the responses and give them the freedom to talk about what their hopes are for the education system instead of giving them guided questions. And in an effort to be equitable and then concise, I only published four of those questions in the voter guide with a little bit of editing. So, yeah, that's kind of what I thought about.
So what went into narrowing in on a limited number of specific questions, four that are published, that can apply to different school districts?
Right. So the four questions, which I've been talking about, are, why are you a qualified candidate? Why are you running? What are your thoughts on race and equity issues in your district? And how do you plan on addressing the achievement gap? So the qualified candidate angle is just, you have a lot of first time, you know, people running for office. So why are they qualified? And then maybe if you are a first time candidate, also asking why they're running, what's their motivation, and giving them the space to discuss that. What are their thoughts on race and equity issues is a very broad question. It allows people to talk about whatever they want. Equity can look like, you know, staffing shortages and, you know, pay for teachers. It can also look like representation in schools. It can also look like accessibility to education. So that's a really open-ended question that I think allowed for candidates to really bring in to the table what they were passionate about. And then talking about the achievement gap, I mean, we know that COVID exacerbated the achievement gap. So I narrowed it a little bit to ask an education focused question. But again, how you address the achievement gap, what you're thinking about, those are all very open questions. So you could really tell me what you want, you know? And so I think what was kind of interesting was that after I'd already done all of this prior to interviewing Troy Flint, my mission actually aligned a little bit with what he was saying, is like, you know, moving a little bit away from the political party lines, but really talking about what candidates should be focusing on.
The number one concern needs to be overall academic achievement. How can we improve achievement for all students? How can we especially accelerate achievement for high need students, for those groups which have been struggling? We've seen opportunity and achievement gaps persist and in some cases widen for decades. We've talked about the mental health crisis and supporting students in becoming more well-adjusted socially, supporting social and emotional health. That ideally would be a focus of many of the candidates. We also want to see attention to student groups that have struggled, that don't fit into the normal racial dynamic.
So now that you got these responses, what stood out to you about the overall responses from 26 candidates spanning five school board districts? Was there a big takeaway?
Yeah, so I don't think everyone's going to look at what every single candidate said. But for me, because I was reading it, I did see some things. And so there was some language affiliated with political parties. And I think it's important to look out for those. I don't, you know, this is a nonpartisan race, but again, I'm highlighting that this does exist. So things like parents' voice, school choice, school safety, very much on the more conservative end, something like Kids First, or having racial denominations when discussing race and equity. I think those were a little bit more on the Democratic side, more liberal side. also important to look at when looking at the race and equity questions. When people say race and equity for all, that's definitely a much more conservative talking point. So yeah, taking that language is really important, but then also to look out for omissions, I think, is really significant. What are people not telling us? That's why I left these questions so free, so that people could really say, like, this is going to be my mission, because there's always going to be 100 things to think about when you're on the school board. But what are you going to guide your focus to? And I think that becomes clear when you see that, you know, what people aren't leaving or aren't telling you and what they're leaving out. And then also looking for lack of clear direction. So with first-time candidates, I found that a lot of the time those answers weren't very specific. Like, how, if you were given a budget, how would you actually work on the achievement gap? Yes, you can say data, but then what will you actually do with that data? What will that look like? I think some people had more specific responses, and I appreciated that because I had more of an insight into how they might approach it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. What did the candidates, or did they, find any common ground?
I'm not sure if there was. I think between party lines, a little more common ground. And so the race and equity question definitely had a lot of variation. You know, so I can't say there was any real similarity. I think a lot of people did address, like, that data would guide them if they were thinking about the achievement gap or they were thinking about this and that. But I think, again, like, their approaches were different. The things that they were focusing on was different. And so, yeah, we just hope that dialogue starts to move away from party lines and really becomes more about the students and having, you know, putting the students first, really.
Yeah. Overall, were you satisfied? This was a huge dive. Did you ultimately get a deeper understanding of each candidate?
Absolutely. I have given everyone information so they can get a sense of the candidate's stance holistically. So I got a really good stance on a much larger scale, but I think going in, you won't be as overwhelmed. It won't be 26 candidates.
Right, it's one race.
It's one race. And you'll just look at your area and you'll see between 2 to 3 people. And between those 2 to 3 people, I've given you a lot of resources so you can make your own educated guess on who you want to vote for. While also keeping in mind all of the things that I've told you, you have to be a little discerning when looking at this guide, because I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. But depending on where these people stand, it will have an influence on their votes in the school board. So you need to be a little cautious when voting. Yeah.
Finally, Srishti, what do you hope voters gain from your guide to Sacramento County school board races?
I hope that they can make an informed choice and that it's not a down ballot race. It's not a throwaway, you know, race or vote. It's really something that you have a choice in. And it's like what Troy Flint said, that this is like the epitome of democracy. You could really make change. So, yeah, please go out and vote for your local school board candidate.
And you made it easier than ever in Sacramento County, at least. You know? So that is really that is really incredible, because it is difficult to do research on school board races, you know, historically, at least for me, you know, in elections past. So now it's easier.
Yeah, it is definitely one of those ones where you generally don't get, you know, any sort of voter guide that will tell you a lot, or maybe it'll be biased and only have like one candidate. And so you don't actually know who the other candidates are. This is every candidate that is in those 5 districts. So really, you can go out and you can really see who you can vote for. Yeah.
Srishti Prabha is Cap Radio's Sacramento education reporter. Thanks, Srishti.
Thanks, Vicky.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.